How many of you are ready to dream again? Right? Come on. If you're not, I hope before I'm done today that you are. Let's welcome all of our campuses that are joining with us today. We are glad that you are there. My name is Eddie Couples, and I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. And I've got a really important announcement to make today for all of our campuses, but especially for those of you who are at our Savannah campus today. I am privileged to announce today that as of today, your interim pastor is Pastor A.J. Fowler. So come on, let's give it up for Pastor A.J. and Crystal for what they've been doing already in that house there and what we believe God's going to do through them. So I'm excited to be working with Pastor A.J. And so for all of us, all of you here, all of you at the other campuses, as well as Savannah, let's be praying for them as they step into this new role over the next few months as we move together. Grab your Bible or whatever you've got the Word of God on, maybe on an iPad or your phone or whatever. Surely you've got it on something. And let's hold it up. Those of you at our campuses, just hold it up with us. And let's make our confession together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, 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 I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you believe that today? I really believe that the Word of God changes us and that I am what the Word of God says about me, not what somebody else says, right? We've been talking on this subject of dreaming again out of the book of Ruth. And so if you want to go there, the Old Testament book of Ruth, the eighth book of the Old Testament, is where we've been over the past 4 weeks. We're finishing up with it today. We've been looking at a story. If you're not familiar with the story, it's a story of a woman who goes away from her hometown in Bethlehem and with her husband and two sons. And as they go away, they live there a few years. The husband dies. The two sons die. She's left with a couple of daughter-in-laws, and she's at her wit's end. And we talked in the first week about when your dream dies, that in your life, in all of our lives, there are those moments that our dreams just die. We reach the end of it and it's over. But what we found is that Naomi, the Bible says, heard that there was bread back in the house of Israel, and she began to dream again. She began to believe for greater things. And over the past few weeks, we've been looking at how they made that journey back. And last week we ended where Naomi tells her daughter-in-law, listen, I want you to do some crazy stuff. I want you to go. There's this guy named Boaz, and he has a right to redeem us, and I want you to go. And we went through that whole process last week of what she did last week. Now today we're picking that up, and here's what I want to talk about today. I'm going to wrap this whole series up today. I want to talk about the power of a dream. I believe with all of my heart, and listen carefully to what I say, I believe that dreams are about the most powerful things on this planet. All right? I know we think of a lot of things as being powerful, but I'm going to tell you, dreams have power to change everything, okay? The book of Ruth, the fourth chapter, let me begin reading in verse 13 as we wrap all this up today. It says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. All right, now think about this. This is a Moabitish woman who had no right to be in even living in Israel, let alone marrying a Jewish man. It says, when he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, now remember, Naomi's the mother-in-law, and Naomi's kind of been the one who is the instigator of this dream all the way along. Praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. All right, there's some hope for some of us. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. Now that's interesting. Verse 17, I want to read as well. The women living there said, Naomi has a son. Now stop a second. Right? Who gave birth to this son? Ruth gave birth to this son. But everybody else is saying, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, who is the father of David, the king. Isn't that interesting? Now, it's interesting to me that they said Naomi has a son, and I won't spend just a moment here, but here's what I want you to understand, that when the dream comes to pass, even when the dream happens through somebody else, God still sees that dream as your dream, all right? So that's why they would say, this is, and she didn't give birth, but this is Naomi's son. Now, let's talk about the power of a dream. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at these two women, a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, and how they came back to a place where they were basically outcasts, and yet we find as they begin to dream, as they begin to believe, powerful things begin to happen. The first thing about the power of a dream is that it defines us, okay? That dream has a way of defining who you are. It's when you're around somebody and they have a dream, they're talking about it. It's something down inside of them. In fact, let me say it this way: our dreams determine our destiny. Okay? There's a lot of people don't know how they got to where they are in life. Well, let me help you. Your dream got you there. If you'll say amen, and the medicine will go down easier. All right? Your dream determined your destiny. What you dream about, what you think about, what you pray about, what you believe for brings you to the place that you are in life. Now, there's a lot of people who are daydreamers, who are pie in the sky. They're idealistic. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you set in motion what it is that God has called you to, that is going to determine the direction of your life and of your destiny. Now, let me give you the second thing. My daily decision dictate my journey. All right? It's those daily things that you do. It's those moment by moment things that you are doing. You say, well, I don't know how I got here. I do. Your daily decisions got you there. Right? Come on, let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever seen somebody who lost a bunch of weight? You three of you, okay? Well, some rest of you ought to get out more or get different friends. I don't know which one, all right? But here's what had to happen. They had to make a decision to change lifestyle, to change what they're eating, to change their exercise habits and all that. And daily, and the first day they did it, they didn't go, "Ooh, I got this conquered. I've got this beat." How many of you know? It was day by day by day by day by day making the decision, and that decision dictated their journey in their life. Now, let me say this to you. You can have an ordinary life or you can have an extraordinary life. It's your choice. Okay? And I mean that. You say, well, I don't believe that's true. I don't believe everybody's going to have an extraordinary life. Wait a minute. The Bible says this about you. Did you know this? That you are created in the image and in the likeness of God Almighty? Now, if you are created in the image and in the likeness of God, how in the world can you live an ordinary life? Amen. I got to believe for something extraordinary. I've got to come to that place where I say, you know what? I am not going to settle just for the mundane, routine things of life. I am going to believe God for exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. That's what I'm believing God for. Now, let me say this to you. A dream worth pursuing is a blueprint, okay? It's a blueprint of your potential. All right. How many of you know when you look at blueprints, when they're first drawn, it's not the building? Right? I've done enough building throughout my ministry and throughout my life that I know. Sherry and I built a house one time. We never gonna do that again. That you will find out how sanctified you are and how married you are if you build a house. Why do y'all look at me like that? Right? You'll get into serious trouble. I'll move off that, okay? But here's the deal. A dream worth pursuing is like the blueprint. You're sketching it out, but you don't have the building yet. But it's telling you where you're going to go. And at the end of each of these, that I've got five things, and I'm going to ask you a question to help you as you process this over the next few weeks and months as you begin to live out your life. And that is this: do I clearly see my dream? Okay? It can't be fuzzy. It can't be, well, I think I'd like to, well, I want. No, you've got to clearly see the dream that you believe God has for you. Watch this. The Word of God says that God looked at the earth. In the book of Genesis, the first chapter, it says, and then the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, well, wait a minute. What did God do? God saw that he wanted to create something, and in the moment that he saw it, he clearly saw it, and then he began to speak what it was that he wanted to come to pass. All right? And God said, let there be light. Boom, there's instantly light. And then he divides the light, the day from the night. And then he speaks to the oceans, and he speaks to the land masses, and he speaks to the trees, and he speaks to the animal. He does all of these things, and in those moments it says, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, if you read the book of Genesis, and then it says, and God saw. See, what you say is what you see. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? Speaks. The Word of God that comes out of you creates the reality of your life. Now, some of you didn't get that. What you're talking about, the dream that you have is a blueprint, but what you are speaking determines what happens in your life. It is your choice. That's why every week we've been saying, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Not what everybody, listen, remember last week I told you somebody needs to get this. Last week, maybe it's at a campus, somebody needs to hear me. Last week I told you that rejection is just somebody else's opinion. That's all it is. Next time somebody rejects you, go, that's your opinion, I'm out, Jack. Right? Why? Because my Father said I'm accepted in the beloved. All right? The Word of God says that I am an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The Word of God says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So I don't, listen, I love you, but I don't care what you say. My daddy said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I believe, and that's when we make that confession week in and week out, is to help us, okay? The second thing that the power of a dream has is that it has the power to propel us. It has the power to move us. It has the power to get us out of the place that we're living in. I came across a statement. This is in the very beginning part of my ministry, 35, 36, 7 years ago, something like that, and I've lived by it from that day to today, and that is this: only those who see the invisible can do the impossible. All right? You've got to see something that nobody else is seeing. You've got to believe for things that nobody else is believing for if you're going to see God do powerful things on your behalf. If you're waiting for everybody else to get on board, if you've got to take a poll to see which way you're going, you're in trouble. You've got to begin to see things that nobody else is seeing. Well, Pastor, I just want to tell you, I'm from Missouri. I'm from the Show Me State. Well, let me help you, me, all the show me people. You have got to come to the place that you are living not in what you can see, but in what God sees. See, God sees something in you that you haven't seen yet, and he's trying his best to move you forward to get you to the place where you can do the impossible, but you got to see the invisible first. See, let me say this about dreams are the things that get you up in the morning. You say, no, that's a nightmare. No, that's a whole nother thing, all right? Dreams are what get us up in the morning. It's what keeps us expecting great things. If I were to ask you today and you were 100% honest, are you really expecting great things? Or are you just saying, well, you know, it's been pretty bad the last month or so. And, 2017, I was really looking forward to 2017 because I was ready to bury 2016. But, yeah, Lord, help us, Jesus, it's just as bad in 2016. Come on, right? No, wait a minute. I'm not negating that maybe you've gone through some rough things, but you're still alive. God still loves you. He's got his hand on your life, and he's got a plan for you. Do you know God has a dream? God's a dreamer. Did you know that? God dreams. Here's what God dreams about. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the dream of God. And you know how he fulfills that? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's God's dream for each and every one of us. God dreams that you are in relationship with him. That's what he wants. That's what propelled Jesus Christ to leave the heavenlies, to come to this earth, to live 33 and a half years, and to die on a cruel, rugged cross, shed his blood, give up his life so that you and I could have life. That's the dream of God lived out every time somebody says, that's me. I am going to allow myself to be propelled out of the place I'm living and to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's what it's about. Amen? That's what God's came to do. See, here's what happens when you get to that place, when you're pushed, is that that your dream pushes you out of your comfort zone. Amen? How many of you know when you get in a comfortable place, it's hard to move you? Come on, wives, let me help you. How many of you know when your husband sits down in the recliner or the couch and gets comfortable? It's like, come on, Jesus, to get him to move, right? When he kicks those feet up and got that remote in his hand and a big gulp and whatever, it's, why y'all looking at me, right? It's like, this is not, he is not going to, he shall not, it's in that old song of church, he shall not be moved. Why? Because it's comfortable. But here's what a dream does. A dream pushes you out of your comfort zone. Now, let me say this to you, and here's the question. Does my dream compel me to follow it? All right? Is there a dream in your life that is so overwhelming that you say, this is what I want to do with my life? I want to go after it. I want to believe God for this thing that I believe God has put in my life. If not, I challenge you to get there. Hallelujah. I don't want you to live an ordinary life. I want you to live an extraordinary life. I want you to do what it is that God's called you to do. And so you've got to come to that place where you get a dream that wakes you up in the morning and keeps you up at night. Amen? When God begins to speak new things to me, a new season for the church or new direction or whatever, not only is that what propels me in the morning, it's what keeps me awake at night as I'm laying there just thinking about what it is that God wants me to do. The third thing is this, is that your dream, the power of a dream, is that a dream develops us, okay? Our dreams develop us. It makes us into what we are going to be. Let me say this to you, and I'll explain this. Our dreams determine our values. Okay? Our dreams determine our values. And people say, well what are values? Well, values are not what you say. Right? Come on, as parents, we have probably all been guilty at least once of telling our kids, don't do what I do what I say. All right? But you just blew it when you said that. Because your values override your words. Boy, it gets quiet in here sometimes. See, our values are what we believe and what we live. I can hang around you for a little while and I can find out what your values are. You can tell me you value education, but if you don't ever go to class, all right? You can say you value your husband or your wife, but if you talk derogatory about them all the time, oh, help me, Jesus, I'm preaching good, right? See, we can say we value the things of God, but we don't ever come to church. Oh, hallelujah. It's just getting better and better, right? So my values are those things that I live out. And here's what I want you to understand. Your values develop your priorities, all right? Because when you determine, listen, you say, I want to be greatly used of God. Well, all of a sudden, you're going to start making some time to pray. Amen? You're going to find yourself getting a Bible and starting to read the Word of God. If all of a sudden you've changed your priorities, I mean, I used to be one of those Christians. I was committed. I went to the house of God, but you know, now my priority is, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden you're going to begin to be hanging out and doing that. So your values develop the priorities that you have in life. Your values develop your faith. All right? What you believe in, your values, help your faith to grow. All right? So if I value what it is that God is speaking to me, what God is saying to me, then my faith begins to grow. If I value what the world says to me, then my faith will grow in what the world says. All right? Your faith is growing at all times. It's just according who you're listening to. Right. Let me ask this question. I just saw this recently. Let me talk about this for a moment. I got time. In your world, how many of you know that 2- and 3-year-old and 4-year-olds have no problem dreaming unbelievable dreams? Right? I mean, if you've ever been around a 3-year-old or 5-year-old, they're going to be firemen. They're going to be lawyers. They're going to be the president of the United States. Right? What happens? Really? I mean, think about it. At that point, can I postulate something to you? Just throw it out there and you think about it. Could it be, now I'm just going to throw this out there. If we are created in the image and the likeness of God, and we come from God, could it be that when they are still young, they are still so close to God? Think about that. That they're still dreaming the way God dreams until we beat it out of them. Think about that. And then we start telling them, well, you can't do that, you can't do that. No, there's no... Listen, I'm going to throw this. I got to go, but I'm going to throw this at you. If your kid comes in and says there's something in their room, you may not see it. Why? I just got real quiet then. I just talked to the campuses. That'll be safer, okay? In that moment, you know, they may be closer to the Lord at that moment than you are, because they haven't been told they can't see, they haven't been told they can't dream, and you know, it takes about the third grade before we beat it out of them. You can pray about that one. All right, here's what I want to tell you: the power of a dream keeps us from settling for average. Why is it that we want to make everybody just alike? Listen, God created all different colors. You know, he could have made everything beige. You wouldn't, you know, I don't know about you. I'm sometimes a little challenged. Some of you are going to say every week, but sometimes I'm a little challenged on color schemes, okay? Sherry says I'm colorblind. I tell her I'm just, I'm creative. Okay, so there'll be times I'll put something in. She goes, that doesn't work. And I go, well, it works to me. And I'll say, that's blue. She says, no, Eddie, that's gray. I know it's blue. It's as blue as it can be. No, it's not. Anyway, we have intense fellowship in that moment, and she's usually right. But anyway, why? It would have been much simpler if there was just one color people, one color, you know, we didn't, no changes in the fall, no changes in the spring, just all one color. But God said, no, wait a minute, I want to make us all different. I want to make us all shades and all spectrums, and we're going to have some people with gray hair and some people with blue hair and some people with green hair. Well, God didn't do that, did he? We're going to have all spectrum, and you know what? It's okay. It's okay to be different. Would you just look at your neighbor and say, it's okay to be different? Come on. Somebody needs that today. Somebody needs to know it's okay not to just be average. You don't have to be just like everybody else. Okay? Your dream can move you past that. Now, let me give you this. Here's the question for you. Am I willing to pay the price for my dream? Am I willing to pay the price for my dream? Because I want to tell you, every dream costs you something. All right? You say, well, I dreamed one time and it fell apart. You know, I went into this marriage and I was excited and I believed for great things and it fell apart. Well, that doesn't mean you have to hate everybody the rest of your life. Amen. Come on, you need to get healed up. We need to help you to get restored. But you need to believe again that God is able to help you and restore you and get you back. Well, I started this business and it failed. I'm never going to do that. Well, maybe God says, wait a minute, I got something better for you. Here's what I know. In every experience in life, I can learn. Amen. And so what I want to do is I want to come to that place and say, am I willing to pay the price? Because wherever it is that I'm going with God, it's going to cost me something to get there. All right? And so little dream, guess what? Little price. Great big dream. Okay? And there's a lot of people who want to see great big things happen. You know, that first time that child is taken out. Come on, dads, work with me a minute. You take him out and you throw him a football, he's going to be the next greatest whatever. Right? And you spend hours, and you take them everywhere, and you drive, and you do all the things that you got to do, and you're at every football game, and you're at every season from the time they start playing as, you know, five-year-olds until they graduate from high school, and then you're just praying, come on, Jesus, give them a scholarship. Come on, you know you are, right? And then they get that scholarship, and then they're there. But guess what? There's a price to pay to play for high school. Come on. There's a price to pay for playing in college. There's another price to pay that only a very few of all these ever get to play in the pros. And then there's one more thing everybody's going for, right? We just had it. And there's another price to pay to play in the Super Bowl. And so at every level, these athletes have to decide, just like you do, just like I do, am I willing to pay the price? I got to show up early. I got to get in the weight room. I got to get my body conditioned. I've got to learn the plays. I got to do. Listen, if they can do that, as the Apostle Paul said, for an earthly crown, should we not as believers pursue things at a higher level for a spiritual crown that God is calling us to in our lives? Amen? Let me give you the fourth one. The power of a dream sustains you. That's number four. It sustains us. Here's what I have found out about our dreams. Our dreams determine our goals in life. Now let me say something to you that other people won't say to you. Everybody ready? You ready? Here it is. Life is tough. Right? Come on, just receive that today in the spirit of love. Life is tough. It's just part of living. It's not always going to be easy. But here's what I have found out. To achieve, I've got to believe. All right? Now I went through, and we won't go back. I won't sing You R. Kelly's song again. All right? You can't fly. I'm not postulating. I'm not telling you that. I'm not putting that out there. But here's what I know. If God calls you to do something, to achieve it, you've got to believe it. You've got to believe. Well, God's called me to do this. God's brought me into this time. When Sherry and I believed that God was calling us to Jackson, we had to make a decision. It wasn't an easy decision. It wasn't an overnight decision. It was for months and months. It wasn't what I wanted at that point in my life. We had a wonderful church, a wonderful campus. Everything was going well. Why would I leave all of that to come here? But God was pushing, and I had to believe. Listen, when we gathered together in the Holiday Inn 15 years ago with 35 people, I didn't see all of this. I didn't know we were going to have campuses. I didn't know all of that. I just saw there was about 35 of us, and I was doing the overhead projector. Screens, are you kidding me? We were thrilled to have an overhead projector. Why are y'all getting quiet? But you know what? There was a dream that happened, and God began to do something. God began to bring people from every direction, and people began to buy into the dream. And look what God has done over the past 15 years as people have said, listen, this is what I believe in, what God, but somebody had to believe in it to see it achieved. You've got to come to that place in your life where you are believing in something that's greater than you are. Dreams fuel my passion and set my agenda. All right? Dreams fuel your passion. Some of you need some gas. Work with me. Some of you need some fuel. Some of you need to get excited about life again. You need to believe if God is for you, who can be against you? You need to believe he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it.
Pastor, you got to understand, you know, we've been through a lot in the past. I know some of your story. I don't know all, but I know some of your stories. But here's what I want to tell you. Don't give up now. Don't quit believing. Don't quit dreaming. Let that dream fuel you for the future that God has. See, Jesus left the throne room of heaven to come to this earth because he wanted you to be saved. But not only did he want you to be saved, he wanted you to live an abundant life. That's what he's called you to. So here's my question. I will hurry. My question is to you, am I moving closer to my dream? Let me tell you, every day you either move closer to your dream or further away. You're not static. You don't drive a stake in the ground and say, here I stand. You are either moving toward your dream or you are moving away from your dream. The last thing about a dream is that a dream rewards us. The reason that God gives us a dream is so that we can see the reward. Remember in Scripture here where we've been talking about this whole process, and I spent a whole lot more time over the past few weeks talking about Ruth and Naomi than I have today. But as we look at their life, they come to this place, and all of a sudden, the reward happens. Hard work, believing, doing things that didn't make sense, doing things that everybody else was going, you shouldn't do that, on and on and on. In this moment now, not only does she get married, not only does she have a baby, but this baby is in the lineage not only of King David, but if you study the whole process there, you find that King David is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So here is a woman that has no right to even be in a Jewish family. That's not only in a Jewish family, she is the great-grandmother of King David, and she's in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm gonna tell you that's a reward. That's pretty awesome stuff. See, here's the deal. God-given dreams are about making a difference. All right? If God gives you a dream for your family, if God gives you a dream about a ministry, it's not for you. It's to make a difference. Did you hear me? So we've got too many people trying to live out a dream that's all about them. If God gives you a dream, it's always about others. It's always about making a difference. It's always about, and you know, we talk about it all the time, it's always about changing lives to change our world. That's what it's about. That's the dream that God places in our hearts and our lives. Here's what I have found out. The pain of the moment becomes the reward of today. The Bible says it this way, weeping may endure for the night, but what? Joy. Everybody say joy. Joy comes in the morning. Here's what I found out about a God-given dream, and that is my dream blesses others. When God places a dream in your life, it's not just about you. It's not just about making more money. It's about seeing greater things happen. You know what happens to us? Let me say this, and I'll give you the last point there. But here's what happens to us. In all of our lives, we find ourselves at times like Naomi and Ruth. We find ourselves in those bittersweet moments where it seems like life has passed us by. And you know what happens in those moments? If we're not careful, we settle for second best. Well, I had great dreams. I believed God was going to do great. I believed I was going to have a ministry. I believed I was going to be successful in this. I believed, but all of a sudden, because it didn't happen. And you know what I found? Can I just talk to you a minute? What I found is a lot of times it begins to be reflective even in our church attendance. Uh-oh. You know, when everything was going good and things were popping, man, we're at church, we're loving God, we're serving God. I love you. I really do. But all of a sudden, we kind of hit that moment. The pain is a little intense. And what we don't realize is weeping endures for a little while. It's not forever. Say, Pastor, it feels like forever. I know it does. I got you. Weeping endures for a moment. It's passing. I love to read those scriptures in the King James Version that says, and it came to pass. I know what it's saying, but I'm just sometimes going, it came to pass. Let's get this out of here, right? But I've got to come to that place where, listen, I don't give up. The Bible says that if I'm faithful, in due season, I'm going to reap if I faint not. In that moment that I just say, boy, you know what? I don't want to go to church, but I need to go to church. Amen. Come on, let me talk to you. I'm a pastor. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm a pastor. So I'm going to talk to you about church. It's like, you know, let's just stay at home. That's when I need to go. I don't want to go pray. That's when I need to go. I don't read the word. That's when I need to read the word. It's in those seasons where I don't want to, that if I will endure the pain of the moment, the reward is coming. The Bible says it this way about Jesus, despising the shame of the cross, but looking to the glory, he endured the suffering. Now think about that. Jesus looked at each and every one of us and all of you who are watching today, and he looked at us and he was willing for the moment to endure a horrendous death because his dream was what he called looking to the glory. What's the glory? Listen to me. The glory is not Jesus being in the heavenlies. Listen, go study it. The glory is every time somebody comes to relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the glory. The Bible says it this way. It says when one person repents, that there is rejoicing in the presence of God. And some scholars, listen to me, we talk about the angels rejoicing and dancing around. Some scholars say that when you break that down and you study it, that literally Jesus himself gets up and starts shouting. When one. Why? Now think about that. If you had given your life for something, and all of a sudden you see somebody respond to that, wouldn't that make you just want to get up and go, yes, it happened, it came to pass. See, there are some of you today who the most wonderful thing that can happen is that you today can be the fulfillment of Jesus' dream. You say, me? Yeah, you. You can today say, Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me today. And Jesus says, that's why I came. That's why I'm here. Let me give you the last fill-in, and that is this. Does working toward my dream bring satisfaction? Or are you like the great theologian that said, I can't get no? The book of Ruth closes by saying, Salmon, the father of Boaz, Boaz, the father of Obed, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David. In other words, here's the culmination of this dream, that everything that we have seen now on this side of history came to pass because somebody on that side of history had a dream. We sit here today, we sit in campuses today because God had a dream that you and I could be saved. And we now are the fulfillment of that dream. Amen.